The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm here. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And it's going to be a surprise what we're talking about this morning. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Well, not really a surprise. We're going to talk about health. How to stay healthy.
Okay. So many subtext to that subject.
So, you hear, I guess the doctors are telling you on this radio station, you hear the recommendations about, you know, make sure your diet is good, make sure you exercise enough.
But they don't necessarily tell you specifics about diet, and different diets are appropriate for different age groups, different health-focused categories.
That's true. So how do you know if you're eating properly or exercising appropriately to maximize your health? And what we're going to talk about is some of the studies that were done in this regard, because I think all of us have been shocked to hear sometimes of someone who you thought was in great shape, they ate right, they exercised, and they had a heart attack. I think we've heard stories like that.
We have.
And interestingly, the most common symptom of heart disease in many cases is sudden death from a heart attack.
I was raising my hand. Yes, your very first heart attack, and very often it is your first and last.
And I think a lot of people might get discouraged when they see someone who was exercising, eating properly, having a heart attack, and they say, well, why bother then? Why should I eat right, or why should I exercise? It didn't protect that person, didn't help them.
Okay, what we don't know about that individual who died suddenly of heart attack, heart disease, is stress levels, family history, some of the blood test results that typically are not found on an annual visit to a doctor, and the typical blood tests that are done on that annual visit.
So that's exactly right. So what I want to take issue with, when they say that the most common symptom of heart disease is sudden death from a heart attack, that's because, well, it's probably because that patient wasn't going to a doctor because they didn't know they had a problem. And that's what I always say. Just because you feel good doesn't mean you're not sick. And if you had gone to a doctor, he may have just done some routine tests, a CBC, a Kemp panel, EKG, and not find anything wrong. You can have a lot of things wrong with you and still have normal CBCs, Kemp panels, EKGs. And if you don't check for them, well, the point is you can check for them, you can reverse them, and you can make a big difference. So the fact that that person died, his first symptom of heart disease was sudden death from a heart attack, just means nobody did the appropriate testing on him. And in the early stages of any illness, there are always tests that indicate that there's something, some dysfunction going on. The reason mainstream medicine doesn't address that at all is there's no drugs to address those symptoms. That's the problem. Or, in fact, there are no drugs to address a person who has things wrong with them that have no symptoms. That's even a better way of saying it. So the earliest stages of any illness are asymptomatic, and so mainstream medicine doesn't look for the problem because they don't have a drug to treat a symptom that doesn't exist.
That isn't their job, Dr. Slavin. The job of mainstream medicine is to save you with heroic measures after you get sick. What we're talking about here is cutting-edge medicine, medicine that will open people's eyes to the development of disease.
Well, let me say it a better way than you just said it.
Oh, wait a minute.
The job of mainstream medicine is to sell drugs.
Okay.
I think that helps people get a better handle on what mainstream medicine is doing. They're not. So by selling drugs, they're treating symptoms. They're not addressing the underlying cause of the disease. And even worse, they're not identifying people before they get sick. They're waiting for people to get sick.
How is it that so many really bright, intelligent, thoughtful people are drawn in to this medical approach that the United States has just jumped into with both feet?
Well, a simple way of putting it is you get what you pay for. And this is what insurance pays for. This is the exact type of health care that insurance pays for, so that's what you get. If insurance said, we're going to pay the doctors to keep people out of the hospital, then you'd see people being kept out of the hospital. But they don't pay for that. In fact, they don't even recognize that as a health care issue. The health care issue is, how do we treat people once they get into the hospital? Now, basically we're heading in the direction of people having to take more responsibility for themselves because the doctors aren't there and the drugs aren't there to help you in the earliest stages of any illness.
But the truth is, you're supporting your good health. You have a very different viewpoint, a very different approach than the doctor does. The doctor is looking at very simplistic tests in order to prescribe a medication, and their favorite medications, cholesterol lowering, blood pressure lowering. Have they changed anything with regard to the overall situation here in the United States with heart disease? No, they have not.
To sum up what doctors do. In the outpatient setting, they do testing to see if you're sick enough to get into the hospital. And then once you're in the hospital, they try to get you out as quickly as possible. And nowhere in that little short brief period of time do they actually address why you got sick in the first place. Their goal is to put you in a hospital and then get you out of the hospital. And they do that with drugs just to reverse symptoms, but they haven't changed the course of the illness. Now, there are a couple of studies done at Henry Ford Health System in Detroit and Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, and they found that people who were physically fit were 40% less likely to die within a year following their first heart attack compared to those who were out of shape. Now, to me, that almost sounds like an oxymoron. They said, if you're physically fit, why are you having a heart attack? You see, they're misdiagnosing that patient, because by definition, if you're physically fit, you shouldn't have a heart attack. So what are they missing? That's I think what stands out in my mind. You can't call people physically fit if they have heart attacks. But the reason they're called physically fit is based on the way they identify fitness.
Okay. So what are some of the criteria for establishing that someone is physically fit? They are in the proper weight category. They exercise on a daily basis. They take in the broad spectrum of macro and micronutrients. They're properly hydrated, and blood pressure is normal. I don't even think about that. But, okay, so those are some criteria for evaluating someone's fitness. And where might this approach have gone wrong? What are people doing? And they meet those proper fitness criteria, and still they have a heart attack. Now, mainstream medicine is going to say, okay, well, their cholesterol was too high. They're not going to talk at all about triglycerides, interestingly enough. And then they'll say, well, they were dealing with undetected inflammation. Oh, they were dealing with elevated blood pressure, blood sugar.
All right, let me remind everybody, let's see, this happened around July 22nd, 1984.
Very specifically, July
22nd. 2004, so 22 no. years ago.
It was, okay, what, he died 2004?
No. 1984.
Yeah, that's what I, you yeah. said 2004.
No.
Okay.
Well, I was 22 years ago.
Okay.
Is that right? No. 84, 2004, 2014, 22 years ago. Am I missing something?
Yeah.
I think I'm 32 years ago,
to
right?
94 to 2004 to 2014.
Yeah, 32 years ago.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so Jim Fix.
Got that fixed up.
If you remember that name, Jim Fix spurred the jogging craze probably back in the 70s and 80s.
So, what did Jim Fix do for hip replacement, knee replacement, and arthritis?
He helped the orthopedic.
All right.
But because he wrote a book about, a best-selling book about running, and said that active people live longer. And at the age of 52, he died of a heart attack while he was jogging in Vermont, and he was 52 years old. So in answer to the question, here's a perfect example of a, based on mainstream medicine's definition, he was physically fit. He was jogging. He had no symptoms. The reason he was jogging and went into all this, because he had a strong family history of heart disease. He had written five books. One of them, I think, was the big bestseller, The Complete Book of Running. And when he died at 5:30 p.m., he was found on the side of the road by a motorcyclist. They tried to resuscitate him, but they couldn't.
Okay, it's interesting because this goes on to say that he had this massive heart attack and that two of his coronary arteries were sufficiently blocked so that cardiologists would recommend bypass surgery. But the truth of the matter is he most likely had additional blood vessels around those blockages because of his running. So the mystery deepens here a little bit. That music means that it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back. Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth? Trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we are kind of unraveling a mystery here. Okay, so we're talking about people dealing with heart disease, and you're going to survive a first heart attack by 1 year if you are a fit individual. And we're trying to decide, what exactly does fit mean?
Right, by mainstream medicine standards, it doesn't take much to be fit by their definition. That's the problem, because you can be, you know, you can pass your stress test, you can weigh appropriate amounts on the scale, and you can have normal blood tests. However, what blood tests did they do? They didn't do all the blood tests that might uncover a smoldering problem that you may not be aware of. So we're talking about Jim Fix, who was, by anybody's standards, in great shape. Yet he died at age 52 of a heart attack. At least that's what they said he died of, because the autopsy showed he had blockages in several coronary arteries. Now, by that definition, he shouldn't have been able to run at all if he had such great blockages. So he had collateral circulation that enabled him to run. Now, if you have like 95% blockages in different arteries, you'd have symptoms immediately upon exertion. He was able to run. That means he had developed collateral circulation. So, and basically, that's the same thing. The body is able to create their own bypasses. We call it collateral circulation, that surgeons do when they do a bypass graft. And yet he had a heart attack. And it was easy to blame the fact that he had blockages in his arteries, but they don't take up the point that they about the collateral circulation that he must have had to allow him to run.
Because he had taken place, he had taken part in races prior to his death, just weeks before his death.
Well, here's an interesting statement by Fred LeBeau, the president of the New York Roadrunners Club and the guiding light of the New York Marathon. He says, we know running doesn't cause heart attacks and may, in fact, prolong life.
So what he was saying was possibly that because of running, Jim Fix extended his life because he had such a familial history of coronary artery disease, heart disease.
Well, we can put things into context. He says, sure, we have people dying in Central Park, one or two a year while running. But he goes on to say,
don't run in Central Park. That's the takeaway message.
The question is, are they dying from running in Central Park or from other causes? But I'm sure more people die on the golf course or watching the Yankees play baseball.
Wow.
So he says maybe if Jim Fix didn't run, he'd have died 5 years ago. So then the question is, okay, what are some other causes that could be attributed to your heart that might cause death besides blockages in your arteries? Because this is what happens. People are getting bypassed frequently that don't need it. If you can run a 5 mile race or a 10 mile race, I wouldn't think you need bypass surgery.
How commonly was supplemental coenzyme Q10 used in 1984? It was not very readily available, and the doses were in the range of 10 to 30 milligrams. And now we are much more sophisticated with regard to the benefits associated with coenzyme Q10. And Dr. Slavin, you were mentioning magnesium. So many people have not had their red blood cell magnesium level tested. And if they're relying on serum magnesium, what kind of information are they getting there?
Well, I like this history about Jim Fix. He ran his first race, which was 5 miles long in Greenwich, Connecticut, back in 1970. And he finished last among 50 runners. And he was impressed that the man who won was in his 60s. And he became more passionate about running. He changed his habits. He stopped smoking. He changed his eating habits. He lost 61 pounds and proclaimed in the introduction to his first book on running that his purpose was first to introduce you to the extraordinary world of running and second to change your life. So those are all good things. But for all those people that are doing, it's a good word, excessive exercise or...
Excessive would imply that they're not benefiting themselves. They're doing too much and they're stressing their bodies.
Well, I think there's always that potential. So what happens? We know that if you overexercise, and the level of overexercise that becomes excessive is different for everybody, that if you're perspiring a lot, you're depleting your body of a lot of nutrients, especially magnesium and potassium, and deficiencies in those substances can cause cardiac arrhythmias, which could lead to sudden death, which, in my opinion, might be a better explanation as to why someone has a cardiac arrest while running. But the point where I'm going here is you have to test for all these things. Can you be physically fit and be deficient in magnesium or CoQ10?
Okay, I have a question for you, Dr. Slavin. Athletes who put extreme stress for a certain amount of time on their hearts, very often their hearts will enlarge. Is that an accurate statement?
A runner's heart enlarges, yes.
Any athlete with this intense...
Endurance athletes.
Yes. Okay, so endurance athletes. How much of a risk does that put the individual in if they have an enlarged heart? So you're thinking, okay, you're building this muscle, you're making it stronger, but indeed that might not necessarily be so. They don't mention anything at all about that with Jim Fick's autopsy.
Well, maybe you didn't have an enlarged heart.
It's true.
But they don't mention if they checked magnesium levels. I don't know how accurate that test would be, number one. You know, back 32 years ago, if they had the technology to check for these things, and whether the testing is accurate in a postmortem situation, because we know that levels change of different nutrients. I guess the point I'm saying is our definition of fitness needs to be reevaluated, or at least their definition of fitness doesn't make any sense. You can't say someone is fit and then the next minute they fall over dead from a heart attack. Of course, they're just assuming you had a heart attack.
Don't you put any kind of credence in the statement for the gentleman behind the New York Marathon that without the running, Jim Fix might have died 5 years earlier?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's just spin.
It's
you don't
speculation,
know.
No question.
You know, nobody, you know, really knows. And unfortunately, the autopsies follow a routine that doesn't look for any possible cause. Basically, they want to rule out foul play. So maybe they did toxicology on him. But toxicology doesn't include checking magnesium levels, and you wouldn't be able to pick that up anyway. After death, just like if someone had, you know, we know one of the injections for when you talk about lethal injections is potassium. And we know that high potassium will kill people. It'll stop the heart. Well, after death, you can't measure potassium because it's always high because the cells are going to leak out potassium. It's not relevant. So,
is the same true of magnesium after death? The cells will leak out magnesium,
probably.
So you can't really measure it.
So in this case, they didn't say that they found evidence of a heart attack. They said they found evidence of blockages in his coronary arteries.
He had a hugely enlarged heart.
They said that?
Here? Yes. Right there. Yep. Very interesting. He was acting as his own physician because he didn't necessarily follow medical recommendations. So
Well, okay, they're saying here he had blockages in his coronary arteries, 95%, 85%, 70%. If those blockages were restricting blood flow to his heart, you couldn't run at all. So he had developed collateral circulation. Admittedly, because of a strong family history of heart disease, he had cholesterol-related illness. But he had lost so much weight. You know, he had done everything that we're supposed to do to, quote, be healthy, except that they say here he refused to have an exercise stress test. He said he was experiencing some chest pains while running. So maybe he was ignoring some of the symptoms. I think men more than women tend to ignore symptoms as well.
Wow. It was also, this article is also referring to the fact that he had had several heart attacks in the weeks before. So he may have just totally ignored those symptoms.
I think a lot of people don't want to go to a doctor because they don't like what the doctor's going to tell them. Like you need bypass surgery or... when it comes to other illnesses, you need to have surgery for this or for that. But if you know you have a problem in its earlier stages, you can take that approach off the table. Those are treatments of last resort when, you know, you've let something go undetected for so long. For example, what's a good test for someone like him to have had, or for that matter, anybody, is a calcium score. Which is a way of identifying whether you have increased levels of coronary artery disease greater than expected for your age and gender. Totally a non-invasive test, and it gives you a heads up. And then you can take steps naturally to reverse the problem. Now...
Okay, so someone comes with an out-of-range calcium score, Dr. Slavin. What are some of the things that you would recommend that they begin to do in order to reverse that situation?
Now, here's the interesting thing is if you were to ask a doctor or a patient, for that matter, what causes coronary artery disease, and they would say high cholesterol. But we know from studies that have been done that people with high cholesterol and people with low cholesterol have the same degree of coronary artery disease. In other words, you have people with high cholesterol have no coronary artery disease, and you have people with low cholesterol that can have coronary artery disease. So that's a red herring.
Do you find there's any correlation between the HDL-LDL ratio and that, and we have music, but that correlation between HDL LDL ratio and the potential for coronary artery disease and an elevated calcium score. That music means it's time for us to take a break. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we will be right back.
I didn't hear it.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike, or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. And just before the break, I was inquiring whether the HDL-LDL ratio had any bearing on whether someone's coronary arteries were more likely to become calcified. Dr. Slavin?
I would say that it's probably better to have high HDLs than not. But that's not really the cause. That's the result.
Symptom.
Of
right.
The problem. So like I said, how can you explain people that with high cholesterol levels and have no sign of coronary artery disease? And on the other hand, people with low cholesterol levels have coronary artery disease because it's a symptom. It's not the cause of the problem. It's the result of the problem.
It's very much the result of the problem, something that we discussed at length last week here on Natural Doc Radio, and that's inflammation, most likely the result of above desirable intake of sugar, grains, and processed foods.
That certainly is part of the issue. I'd like to, in the context of speaking about heart disease, remind everybody that there is a very strong incentive to do bypass surgery on people. It's one of the biggest growth industries in the United States. I think other big growth industries is the cancer industry. You know, they're not preventing cancer, but they're making lots of money treating it, and they're not saving lives either. The death rates from cancer, pretty much the same. What they can claim is 5-year survival is increasing, only because they're diagnosing it earlier. And in many cases, they've redefined what cancer actually is when it comes to breast cancer. They're calling things cancer in this country that they don't call cancer in other countries. So naturally, you get a better survival rate when you treat something that isn't going to kill you in the first place. So you have bypass surgery. That procedure brings in more money to hospitals than does any other type of care. In many cases, bypass surgery accounts to 30 to 40% of a hospital's total income. That was a statement made back in 1996. Back in 1989, Linus Pauling, along with Matthias Rath, told the world the cause of heart disease. And what they said was it's a chronic subclinical vitamin C deficiency. Well, as you know, humans do not make vitamin C. In fact, most mammals do not make vitamin C, except for guinea pigs, the fruit-eating bat, and most mammals make vitamin C, the four that don't, humans, primates, guinea pigs, and the fruit-eating bat. So if you're going to do studies on animals, you want to look at guinea pigs because they don't make vitamin C either. So they were saying vitamin C deficiency is what's behind coronary artery disease. Now, a lot of people put down Linus Pauling for making that statement, but after all, because they didn't like that approach. Imagine people being able to help themselves and stay healthy. They didn't like that because you didn't have to rely on drug companies and hospitals. But who is Linus Pauling? You know, it's funny. I ask people that question.
And they don't know who he is. No, I know. It isn't the kind of fame that he really should have. He should be so revered.
And who do I ask? I remember I was in a meeting, so you had all healthcare professionals, and the young ones, they never heard of Linus Pauling. He was the founder of modern-day chemistry, the holder of 48 honorary PhDs, and the world's only 2-time unshared Nobel Prize laureate. And so this guy knew what he was talking about. And he theorized that too little vitamin C elevates cholesterol levels, including the LPA variant that causes narrowing of blood vessels. And then he discovered that the LP small a binds to strands of lysine protruding from weak and damaged blood vessels. So he came up with his theory about how to approach atherosclerosis. He said, knowing that the lysyl residues are what cause LP small a to stick to the wall of the artery and form atherosclerotic plaques, any physical chemist would say at once that to prevent that, put the amino acid lysine in the blood to a greater extent than it is normally found. So that's what...
He said it when he was 92 years old. So he'd been preaching this information for a great number of years, but over and over and over, the scientific and medical community refused to take with sufficient gravity this kind of information because it wasn't a moneymaker.
So this unified theory of cardiovascular disease constitutes one of the great potential breakthroughs of modern science. Their remarkable theory and its intriguing claim that very low-cost LP small a binding inhibitors, in other words, lysine, will prevent and even dissolve arterial blockages has apparently gone unnoticed by the pharmaceutical industry and the medical profession and the media. By the way, when they wrote that, their paper was first accepted by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, but it was then rejected and not published. I wonder whose arm got twisted on that one. In September 2007, this is someone who's talking about their own situation. I had to get a stent in my heart. I had one vein plugged. It's not a vein, it's an artery. I had one vein plugged 99% and one 40% and one 60%.
Isn't it astonishing to you, Dr. Slavin, that someone would submit to such an invasive procedure to have a stent implanted and he didn't have an understanding of his basic physiology?
No, that's not surprising.
No, it stuns me.
You go to your doctor and you believe. And the doctor is not lying to you. He's giving you what he understands to be the best approach. So they put a stent in the 99% blocked artery, didn't do anything for the other two. In 2008, 1 year later, they did a cardiac catheterization and found the other two clear of any blockage after taking Cardio-C for 1 year. Cardio-C was a product that had vitamin C and lysine in it. Also, in March of 2007, my brother had a four-way bypass. I finally got him taking Cardio-C also. It's been 6 years since any heart problems for either of us. We always get a clean bill of health from our doctors. Of course, they are not interested in what we're doing, which is pretty much what I hear, too. Doctors really don't care how you're staying healthy.
No. So when people go to doctors and there's a particular aspect of their blood work that they're looking on, working on, and they are working with me, okay, we have 3 months or 6 months before my next blood work, and my doctor has agreed that I can work on diet and lifestyle. And invariably, with the right supplements supporting the right nutrient levels in their bodies, the blood tests change for the better.
Now, just as an aside, doctors would tell patients chelation therapy is a waste of time.
That's quackery.
They might say it hasn't been proven. Well, now it has been proven. It's been proven to be very effective in addressing coronary artery disease. But that's what they say about Linus Pauling and his theory. He says when your doctor tells you that this theory by Linus Pauling hasn't been proven, you should know that it hasn't been studied. This outstanding achievement by one of our most outstanding scientists has been ignored. No one has proven that it doesn't work. Or you can be tame like many people before you and say nothing to your doctor and let him or her think their treatment somehow worked. Of course, those are the people that are taking the vitamin C and lysine. But here's the interesting thing. Linus Pauling and Matthias Rath applied to the National Institute of Health for a grant to study this approach to coronary artery disease. And on two occasions, they were refused any grant money. So if you want to read about this for yourself in a little bit more detail, you can go to a website called paulingtherapy.com. And it, to me, it makes perfect sense. By the way, it's an inexpensive approach with no side effects. So what have you got to lose? Remember what he said here. The patient went in, he had a stent put in, and they had documented two other arteries with significant blockages that they didn't stent. And a year later, when they retested him just to see how things were going, all those blockages had disappeared, and he was taking the vitamin C and lysine protocol. And by the way, that protocol...
There's one additional substance that I sometimes recommend to people, and that's lecithin. And so the vitamin C, the lysine with some lecithin, very, very effective at breaking down occlusions in your arteries.
So what Linus Pauling was recommending to people, regardless of anything else you do, you have nothing to lose here. About 6 grams of vitamin C a day, along with 2 grams of lysine. So, you know, that was his recommendation.
What do you say, Dr. Slavin, to the people when you say 6 grams of vitamin C? They go, isn't that a lot? And then they say, well, I've tried taking more than 1 milligram or 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day, and it upsets my stomach. What do you say to them?
Well,
work on it.
Well, a lot of times when someone complains that any nutrient upsets their stomach, it's a signal they have dysbiosis. They have the wrong bacteria in their digestive tract, so that needs to be corrected.
That's one of the things that I say to them. Okay, if your stomach is upset and you're blaming vitamin C, an incredibly vital nutrient for your overall good health, what you need to work on is supporting normalizing your digestive tract.
So what Linus Pauling was saying is that coronary artery disease is a form of scurvy, chronic low-grade vitamin C deficiencies, because vitamin C is necessary for the production of collagen. And collagen is what gives strength to the structures of your body. So what scurvy is the lack of collagen, your body simply falls apart. So...
collagen being one of the most predominant substances throughout your body.
So when you have weakened coronary artery, artery disease, the pumping action of the heart causes microtrauma, actually damages the lining of these blood vessels, and the way the body responds to that damage is to put down plaque as a protective mechanism.
When you are deficient in vitamin C, you're going to have inflammation. And underlying this whole picture is an abnormal inflammatory response. That music means we need to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Zamorelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about very simple way to support the health of your heart and circulatory system. Dr. Slavin?
Okay, so the National Institute of Health refused Linus Pauling's request on two occasions. All he wanted to do was get some grant money and then do a study giving people with heart disease high doses of vitamin C and lysine and see what happens. Well, that's been done, but not with a study. It's been done on people who have done this on their own, and their diseases followed up. And the results have been the reversal of heart disease. So we have another statement by a healthcare practitioner. In my clinic, he says, we have a saying, heart disease is easier to treat than low back pain. This treatment, when done correctly, works wonders. Out of all my heart disease patients, I have had only one who did not improve significantly, and that one patient did not use the recommended type of vitamin C. Another patient last year completely reversed her heart disease in 2 months. Now, I know what people think. Well, if this was such a good treatment, how come my doctors haven't told me about it?
Why doesn't my doctor talk to me about it? I hear that over and over and over, Dr. Slavin.
And, well, once you understand that what is recommended in healthcare is apparently controlled not just by the pharmaceutical industry, but by the insurance industry as well, because I think there's a connection between the two.
The bottom line of his testimonial, Dr. Slavin, is the most telling line.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, he wrote an article about three cases of heart disease being reversed. Her MD then told her that I don't usually get to tell a patient this, but she didn't have heart disease anymore. There was no need to put stents in, and she should come back in 2 years. And then what you were just referring to is, in financial terms, my total income from these three reversals of heart disease was $65.
Not a moneymaker from vitamin C and lysine, but you reverse heart disease.
And there are books written on this topic. And here's a patented heart disease cure that works, the name of a book. And, you know, you can read about this for yourself and make your own judgment. I can't say that it's not worth trying.
PaulingTherapy.com.
Yeah, that's the website. Now, severely ill patients begin feeling so well over time that they feel completely cured and stop taking their high doses of vitamin C. I can say that this happens a lot in patients. They ask me, I feel much better now. My lab tests are normal. Do I still have to keep doing what I'm doing? You know, so...
Yes, you do.
But so I say, the but thing I say, that... But if you want to stop, just don't, you know, let's monitor it. And if you need to go back, at least you'll be, you'll find out. But a lot of people, you know, stop on their own. Stopping the Pauling therapy, which was the high-dose vitamin C and lysine, seems to invariably return the person to the condition they were in before the Pauling therapy in about 6 months. We believe that the very high dosage can be lessened over time, but we don't know by how much. It is clear that vitamin C should not be stopped altogether, and continuing high dosages is cheap insurance. This problem should not be an issue for people taking these supplements for prevention and were feeling well to begin with.
It's very interesting because we think about, okay, here with the high-dose vitamin C, the dose is about 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C, so 10 grams of vitamin C, and lysine, 2 grams of lysine. That is going to be potentially so additionally beneficial for so many different types of disease. The vitamin C is going to be very helpful for the collagen preservation, very helpful for immune support, very helpful for reducing inflammation. And the lysine, in addition to helping heal the interior of the blood vessels, is going to be antiviral. So the spectrum of support that you get overall from these two simple nutrients, very basic, very effective.
I would say I can't think of a reason why anyone wouldn't want to try it. You know, try it for, they say here that people recovered in as little as 30 days.
Isn't that astonishing?
They might see relief in as little as 10 days. I'm not sure if that's realistic, but I normally say give any a trial of something at least 3 months to evaluate it. Here's an example of trying something with no side effects, no downside. You wouldn't try that with chemotherapy. Well, let's just try a little chemo and see if that solves the problem. No, because of all the side effects and also because of the expense of chemo. Here, a very inexpensive approach that might be helpful. You know, when we check vitamin C levels on people, invariably they're low.
So, really?
Yeah. So
even someone who's taking daily dose of vitamin C.
You've got to take enough vitamin C.
Right.
That's
right.
The point, you know. Just another point that I like to use when talking about the heart disease cholesterol connection. Bears typically run cholesterol levels in the 800s, and they don't suffer from coronary artery disease.
Yeah, they make don't their have own that C. svelte figure that people are after, Dr. Slavin.
Well, it depends. After their hibernation is svelte. But the point is high cholesterol levels and they don't have coronary artery disease, but they make vitamin C. So just something to think about.
And they eat a lot of salmon.
So how much vitamin C should you take? Well, for this protocol, he's recommending 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day and 2,000 of lysine. So that translates to 2,000 three times a day of vitamin C and 1,000 three times a day of lysine. He said 2 grams. We have a product here that would make it 3 grams because it's vitamin C and lysine together in a capsule.
Okay. Now, do you tell people to start gently with the vitamin C? Because I think that if you go to that very high dose, 2,000 milligrams three times a day, you might get just a very, very normal reaction is it's too much for the digestive system. So my recommendation would start with about 1,500 of vitamin C spread over the day. After 3 or 4 days, then you can up it to 3,000, and then after a few days, up it again. But I would introduce it gently.
Well, that's one way. Or you can take the full dose if you have a problem and drop back and gradually build up.
I like this next information from Linus Pauling about vitamin E. Vitamin E is one of my absolutely favorite supplements. I think it does so much for supporting people's health in all different aspects.
Well, and how often have we tried to, we've seen studies to try and discourage people from taking vitamin E.
That's what amazes me.
So here's what Linus Pauling had recommended, 400 to 800 units of vitamin E for cardiovascular disease. Several authors have pointed to an extensive study conducted by the World Health Organization on thousands of men and women from 16 nations. The study illustrated that a low level of vitamin E in the blood was more than twice as predictive of heart attack than either high cholesterol or high blood pressure. Inverse correlations between plasma vitamin E and mortality from ischemic heart disease is cross-cultural epidemiology.
Dr. Slavin, before we run out of time, I want to remind everyone that on June 11th, there's a very special occasion here at the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
That is true. We're going to have a seminar here just to help people understand the different approaches there are besides mainstream medicine. So we'll show you about integrated genetic solutions, blood tests, to use the latest in science to help determine the best dosages of various hormones and supplements to take. We'll look at the cell well-being, which is how to really get a good view of how the health of your body using your hair after it's been analyzed. We'll look at heart rate variability as a great predictor of the level of your health. These are all things that are not done by mainstream medicine, but they're available, scientifically proven, but not being done. We'll just review breast thermography, which is something that people should be aware of.
What time?
10 o'clock that Saturday, June 11th.
Okay. And do people need to reserve a spot?
Yes, they'll need to reserve a spot. And just call the office. The office number is 954-748-4991 because space will be limited.
Okay. And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope it was so educational and you're able to support your good health in a more focused way. We will be back tomorrow at 10. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.